2017 at AAA at 31 homers.
That's drilled left field. That one way back there. Look out, Waveland. And that is crushed. Wisdom, another homer. Two yesterday and one here tonight. The incident into the back portion of the bleachers, and it is 2-0.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time for the Cub Podcast, and with me is Sam Fells from Deadspin. Sam, how are you?
I am well, sir. How are you? Pleasure to be here.
Happy to have you. And, as always, support for the Pointless Exercise Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. That sentence never makes any sense to me. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code POINTLESS20 at manscaped.com. Now, if you memorized the code from the earlier podcast where it was just pointless, you have to add the 20. Because somebody apparently put our code on one of those free code sites.
Yeah.
So they gave me a
new. You've been hacked.
Yes, we've been hacked.
And when referring to a product that deals with that area, the last thing you want to hear is hacked.
That is exactly right.
So pointless 20, people.
Pointless 20. Get 20% off your whatever you buy. And free worldwide shipping. So even if you move to Guam, you don't have to pay to have your nut trimmer shipped.
You can still be aerodynamic and cool temperature.
So Sam, I looked this up. The last time we did this podcast, it was you and me and Kyle.
Yes, it was.
It was the 12th of May. How many times do you think the Cubs have lost since we last did a podcast?
12th of May. So that is, my goodness, 21 days ago. 3 weeks exactly, yes.
Yes.
Is that right? Can you give me a hint and tell me how many games they've played?
They've played, including today, they've played 19 times.
19 games. I would say they have lost 3 games.
Oh, you actually shot one. They've lost 4 times. They are 15-4.
15-4.
Yeah, they lost the night we did the podcast, that long extra inning game in Cleveland where no one would score.
Right.
And
which is the only kind of game you can play in Cleveland.
And then they got hotter than hell, and they're clearly the best team in baseball.
In the words of famous Cubs lore, they got hotter than shit.
They did get hotter than shit.
Yes, exciting times. I wrote about the Cubs yesterday on Deadspin and how they very well may be a live action Major League, the movie team. Yep. They seem to be uniting around the fact that their front office and ownership wants them to lose, and they are not. And the conclusion I came to is that the argument you can't make about them is a soft schedule because the National League as a whole, save 3 teams, is a soft schedule.
Is a soft schedule.
If you are not playing one of the 3 top teams in the NL West, chances are you're playing a team that sucks. And that includes the Atlanta Braves at the moment.
Yeah, they're not. They're below 500.
They're below 500. It is not a place I thought we would find ourselves talking about, but here we are, and I have to admit, I'm a little bit intrigued. I'm curious to see where this goes. There's some air. There's definitely some air in this recent hot streak, but we'll get to that. I don't know how much I trust this rotation. There is still a sell-by date on Adbert Azulai this year, I would think, and that will be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I am really quite curious to see what they will do in 6 weeks or 2 months' time, just about, if they're still in this spot. I do not think they have the guts or the balls to trade any of their big pieces if they're in first place. And now with Flaherty and Michaelis on the DL for, or the IL, sorry, for a long time, I don't, it would be hard for them to not be in first place. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So they've played the Padres and Dodgers six times.
Yeah.
They're 6-0. They've played the Mets three times, and they won them all.
Well, if you're playing the Mets and it's not Jacob DeGrom, is that really all that hard?
Well, the Mets were first place.
I mean, I know they're over 500. But
no, I think the reason people bring that up is those are three. If the play, you know, the, if the playoffs started today,
well, yeah, those
and everyone would be surprised. The playoff teams would be the Giants, Dodgers, Padres, Cubs, and Mets. And the Cubs have yet to lose to any of those teams, so they clearly will sweep their way through the playoffs, just like they did in 2015 when they made it to the NLCS and they played the Mets, who they had beaten six times without a loss in the regular season, and that's why
I think
they
it
swept
was seven. Actually,
seven. That's right. They swept a four game. That's why they swept them and went to the World. Oh, that's right.
Right.
They didn't.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But yeah, so I
think there is.
I'm curious how you feel about now. You weren't as cynical and angry and downright dejected as I was. But that doesn't mean you thought this team was any good.
Well, I was getting ready, and I still girded up my loins to get angry.
Okay.
Part of me has been I've watched this season from the very beginning with the idea that I'm getting myself ready for the fact that this is the last time we're going to see Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Javi Baez.
Yeah.
So part of me is like just trying to watch those guys and enjoy that as much as you can. It's very difficult with that, you know, the expiration date hanging over the head, which could come, it might come in November or December, or it might come in July.
It might, although it's looking less and less likely.
Yeah, so I have enjoyed. The other thing is, I hate the Ricketts family so much that I really enjoy the fact that they're being put in this position now, where if they want to do the thing they really want to do, they, you put exactly right, they don't have the balls to do it. They just won't. They just won't do it.
I mean, I could see a scenario where they do it and then never step foot in the state of Illinois again. Like, they will. I mean, we've already seen them hide. We know they can, like, they, like, before the pandemic, like, he wouldn't speak at CubsCon,
yeah.
Which, I mean, honestly, not speaking at CubsCon actually sounds like a great decision, but. That's the only scenario I can see, that they would just run for Omaha, Nebraska and never come back. I think it's hard to say what will happen, because if the Cubs are in first place, then we will do more shows between now and then. So we probably shouldn't waste all the bullets now, but thinking about it, like if July 31st rolls around and they're in first place and maybe even comfortably in first place, I mean, it's not hard to envision a scenario that without Flaherty and without Michaelis, the Cardinals just kind of hover around 500, because they're not very good.
Yeah, and especially since every year, I mean, Yadi has a something falls off of Yadi in August,
right,
every season, and the same thing will happen to Adam Wainwright, and those two guys are not terribly good, but they're better than what they're going to get replaced with, and
yes,
they'll be even worse after that.
So it's not even that hard without the Cubs even playing that well. I mean, let's face it, the Cubs are not going to win 9 out of every 10 games the rest of the way.
They're not?
No, so I hate to break it to you.
Hey, this Cub franchise has won 116 games in a season before, and that team,
they have,
as far as I know, did not have Patrick Wisdom on it. So
it did not. It did not.
This should be a piece
of
cake.
It's not that hard to envision a scenario where come near the trade deadline, they're not just in first, but they're in first by 3 or 5 games. And
right,
so
which
I
becomes,
wonder,
it's not just, hey, let's not sell these guys. It's, who are you going to add to this team now?
Well, that's a separate discussion. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. But
well, I know the answer to that.
I know the answer to that too. But if you can't, if they can't trade any of these guys because they're in the division lead, and they got to finish the season with them. Well, to me, that sort of would have to change whatever trajectory they have in their minds, because you could let them all walk. But if you're saying, well, we're starting over, well, you don't have the prospects you thought you were going to get for one or two or all three of them. You can't really start over. Like, you, not only would you have to then be bad for years to get draft picks, you'd have to make up for the ground you lost by the prospects you didn't get.
Right. So that's the big fear with them being good right now, is that all it means is that they don't sell anybody off at the trade deadline.
Right.
They do one of their quick U-turns in the playoffs, and then in the offseason, all the guys they were going to trade, they just go, "Hey, thanks, that was fun." So you didn't get a prolonged playoff run, and now you're that much farther behind trying to rebuild. That's the one bad scenario if they continue to win.
Yeah, and it's also the most likely. But if you're saying, all right, well, we can't really just start over. We got to bring back a couple of these guys. We just don't have anyone to play there, honestly.
Because here's the thing. If you let Chris Bryant leave, then Chris Bryant next year doesn't get to fill in at every position where you have an injury, which is what he does right now. You don't have to worry about anybody getting hurt because you just play Chris Bryant there, and everything's magically fine. Well, then when he's playing for the Dodgers next year, I don't think they're going to loan him to the Cubs so he can fill in when Rizzo's back tightens up again. Or if it's not even Rizzo, if it's Patrick Wisdom's back tightens up.
So they've become kind of a fascinating study.
Yeah, it's chaos.
It's absolutely chaos. Now, someone can make the argument, hey, wait a minute, if they get to the playoffs, whatever, and they want to bring these guys back, and like, well, wait a minute now, Brennan Davis already looks like he's on a trajectory to be up in 2022. You know, I'd like to think they think Braylon Marquez will be around as a lie.
He's got to throw a pitch in 2021 at some point.
He does, but...
Because otherwise you're going to end up in the same boat you're in with Edbert right now, which is...
Right.
You bring him up next year, and he's got 48 innings in his arm.
Right.
And you're like, oh, all right, see you next year, Braylon. That was fun.
But someone can make the argument, well, wait a minute. We can pay all these guys and start filling in the spots with cheap talent that can actually play, not Eric Sogard.
So on Jed's magic whiteboard, he could actually take the Chris Bryant magnet that he long ago threw away, and he can actually put it back on the board, and he can put Rizzo and Javi and Wilson in, and then he can look at all these other positions, plus most of our rotation and our bullpen, our guys, we're not paying squat.
Nico Horner at second base.
Yeah, you got Horner at second. You got to have Eric Sogard. You can't have a team with him, so he's running around somewhere.
Got to be fair to Holly, dude.
Yeah. But no, you could do. I mean, obviously, you have the albatross and Wright. You have to pay that no matter what for 2 years after this. I mean, here's how sad it's gotten with Jason Hayward. Him and Jake Mariznick are both on the injured list, and any Cub fan with any sense is like, when is Mariznick coming back?
Right.
And doesn't even ask the question about Hayward. It's like, all right, you mean the guy who still can't hit and who now is finally, you know, he also is covering a much smaller area of right field that he used to, and so the one big strength he had is now just kind of helpful instead of super helpful.
Well, let me put this to you. What are the odds that at some point in 2022 your outfield would actually be Hayward in left, Davis in center, and Happ in right? Or flip Happ and Davis. You know, you put Davis and Wright.
Yeah, I mean, the only way that – I can't imagine Ian Happ is a – even with a diminished range of Jason Hayward, I can't imagine that Ian Happ is a plus field is a better fielder than him in right field. Maybe Brandon Davis is. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
That would make sense. Yeah, if he's moving to left, it's not because the guy who couldn't hack it at second base is suddenly becoming Dwight Evans in right field.
We're getting way, I mean, this team.
You know, like doing
still,
next year. We're doing next year's podcast.
Right. I'm just talking about like what. How will their outlook change if they cannot sell off any of the pieces? They just can't.
Well, my guess is depressingly they. The Chris Bryant magnet never makes it out of the garbage can.
Right.
What they look at it as, okay, the cheap pitching that Theo promised us has finally arrived. So we actually, and the other thing I think they're really banking on, and I think they're probably going to be right, is that even though Javi would never have been worth the Francisco Lindor contract, because honestly, Francisco Lindor is never going to be close to being worth his own contract.
Right.
I have a feeling when the new CBA is finally done after however many months of strike next year, I have a feeling those don't exist. There's some kind of, there's something that limits that market. Now, obviously, Javi is still going to get a shitload of money, but it's not going to be the kind of shitload that he would have, that he's thinking it's going to be right now.
Well, that's the thing. The other aspect of that is that we don't even know if there's going to be a 2022 season.
I would bet a lot of money that I don't have. That there is no spring training in February and March, and there certainly is no April baseball season next year. There are going to be a lot of cameras in front of hotel. I don't even know if you can do a hotel ballrooms in the aftermath of a pandemic, but somewhere there will be groups of people of baseball players in poorly fitting suits and
golf shirts. Yeah. And
standing out in front yelling about how unfair everyone's being to them. And the owner's doing the same thing, and the players are right, and the owners aren't.
Right, and I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but, you know, the complaint the previous two seasons was, well, we got to get under the salary luxury tax. You know, we can't pay this again. We have to get under the luxury, as long as we're under the luxury tax, we're fine. Well, if the luxury tax is raised to what it should be, say it's raised to $250 million, or $260 million, or $280 million, you know, and you can have your $230 million payroll without any penalties. That was their story then.
Yeah. And if their story is going to be instead, well, we would love to spend that, but we can't because we lost all this revenue in the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
They're not alone in that. So they would be competing with 29 other teams with the same thing. So it should mean that the market means you're the Cubs. You should be spending more than pretty much everybody else. Regardless.
Yep.
You don't get to use that excuse because nobody has. It's not like you were the only. The pandemic didn't just happen, you know, in the north half of Chicago.
Right.
So everybody had to deal with it. In fact, you guys are probably able to weather it better than most. So shut up. You have to. There aren't like four teams out there. Maybe Steve Cohen is running around throwing money around, although. I have a feeling he'll be indicted for something before then.
Right. Well, that's what I'm curious about because the CBA ends in December. And we know free agency begins in November. And I would imagine most teams are like, well, we're not going to do anything until we know.
They haven't been signing guys in November the last three years. So we're not going to
do anything until we know what the CBA looks like and what the system is. But like the Dodgers or the Mets who just won't care. Whatever the new CBA isn't going to matter to them. They could just be like, hey, we can jump in now and get whoever and whatever we want. And that'll be that. Like we can sign Scherzer and Bryant because no one's even bidding against us. And,
it could be that Boris looks at it and goes, honestly, this is the year to go in November.
Right.
Because let's go when nobody knows how much money they could spend. If somebody wants to throw us a bunch of money, take it right now. It might be the best deal you ever get.
Right. We may not get another look at this. So, which also would make you think that, you know what, if you wanted to get these guys at maybe a slightly lower number on an extension, you probably could do it. Because...
You mean now or later?
Right now. Right now. You could probably...
I think they... To me, the tell. I honestly think the Cubs, the Omaha Hillbillies, the garbage family that owns the Cubs, however whatever you want to call them, they do want to sign Anthony Rizzo, I think. He's like the, he's the, he's not, he's, in some ways he's the safest bet because he can, he would command less money than Bryant and Baez just because of the position he plays in his age. Fans love him, rightly.
Right.
He wants to stay. There's all these factors, and they apparently haven't come close.
Yeah.
So it makes me feel like the Cubs and his agent are dealing on a different set of facts. The Cubs are like, we're not offering you this much money right now because we have a hunch that when you're actually out on the market, this money is not available to you from anybody. And why should we give it to you right now for next year when in our little collusion meetings, we know you're not going to be able to get that much money. So we're not going to give it to you. Here's what we think you can get. Now, if you want to take it now, you can have it. But this money that you think you're owed based on the current market is not what the market is going to be in February, March, June, whenever the hell free agency really is
next
year.
Whatever the hell free agency is, actually.
They're banking on the fact that that money's not, you're not going to get it from anybody. And since you want to play for us, we're still going to have the highest offer for you, but it's going to be then. But it's going to be less.
Yeah,
Who knows, though, with them? But
who knows?
Maybe I'm giving them way too much credit. Maybe it's just, I don't know. You know,
I don't think they know.
We haven't been able to sell any hotel rooms, so we can't sign Anthony. Won't he play for free?
Right. I mean, I don't think they have any idea. I don't think they thought this was coming. Now, let's wheel it back. We're getting way ahead of ourselves. Yeah. So here we have the team on the field in front of us. And I can tell you're itching to talk about Patrick Wisdom. You brought him up twice.
I love Patrick. Well,
you got to know. You got to know. So get it out. Just get it out.
No, it's funny, though. He was a player who when they they brought
good
him.
Good story.
They stashed him in South Bend last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. For some reason, when they signed him, you know, it was one of those. He was just he had been cast away by the Rangers of all teams. And I remember thinking, he was kind of good with the Cardinals. Well, apparently, I must have seen like every Patrick Wisdom game ever because he only played 32 games for the Cardinals. But he was But he was good.
He didn't make that up.
And I just remember thinking, that's kind of a... Well, actually, most of it was, wouldn't it be great if it turns out he's actually good and the Cardinals just have to choke on it? So I'm still riding that. The other thing we've got going for us is that the Cardinals now have a recent track record of just letting guys go who turn out to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of paying Paul Goldschmidt $28 million a year, whatever it is, they could be paying Luke Voit, like... $3 million. Luke led all of baseball in home runs last year with the Yankees.
Yeah.
They traded Randy Arozarena to, and he had this ridiculous run through the playoffs, which was even more ridiculous when I looked up his stats last night. I forgot he had 10 home runs in the playoffs.
Yes.
He was the ALCS MVP. If the Rays had won the World Series, he would have been the World Series MVP. And then there's this slappy in Texas, Adolis Garcia, who he went to Japan, and when he came back from Japan, they basically told the Rangers, "Do you want him?" And he leads all of the major leagues in home runs right now. So why not
Tommy Pham?
No, Tommy is busy disparaging Koreans in the dugout because he couldn't understand what "I got it" in Korean was today, and ran into the shortstop and knocked both of them out of the game.
And the Cubs didn't manage to score. So I was like, now this is the Cubs team I remember. But then they went ahead and scored five runs anyway.
It was kind of
an
optical illusion, though.
Right.
It looked like he had caught it, and he very quickly got before he crumpled to his death in the outfield. He did get the ball back in, which made all of them, I think, feel like he caught it, he got hit, he threw it in, and now he's going to die in the grass.
You are supposed to check the umpire.
Well, but Deshays talked about it in a later inning and said that the umpire was also confused and didn't make any kind of call until the ball was coming back in from the outfield.
Okay. Yeah, see,
he saw it and must have seen him like scoop the ball up to throw it in. Deshays said it wasn't until then that he actually gave the safe sign. So the runners were basically screwed.
They were screwed. Yeah. Fair enough.
So.
Well, it seemed like a very Cubs-Padres moment. But neither one of these teams is adhering to strict Cubs Padres traditions. So, I mean, it'd be great if Patrick Wisdom was just one of these guys who comes up and he hits for 3 months for no reason, for just no reason, because it's rare that the Cubs get that guy. I mean, Michael Hoffpower works, but like Michael Hoffpower was also displacing Derek Lee. It was like, what are we doing here?
No, the team that gets those guys are the Cardinals.
Yeah.
That's why I so want this to happen against them instead of for them.
I mean, he's got, you know, a couple years in the minors where he hit well.
He hit 31 homers twice in the minors.
Yeah.
The one thing he does is he strikes out a lot.
Oh, he strikes out a ton.
A third of his minor league at-bats he struck out in the minors.
But in a week or two's time, you're not even going to care.
Mm-mm.
You know, he's not gonna be here.
No, because really he's simply holding down the spot of the previous saver of the season, the great Matt Duffy.
Right.
Think when Matt Duffy comes back. Now you'll have Matt Duffy, and you'll have Patrick Wisdom, and you'll have Sergio Alcantara. Which one is he? Is he Alcantara or Alcantara? I don't know.
I don't know.
He's already got a triple and two doubles in 3 days. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. Poor Ross isn't going to know. He's not going to be able to put a lineup together because he's just going to be paralyzed by, who do I leave out?
I feel like I have to eat some crow here, which you know I love doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last time we did this, I described David Ross as a non-entity. Which didn't mean I thought he was a bad manager. I just didn't think he had any effect whatsoever. But, you know, it does look like that most of the team has begun to change their approach a little. They are making more contact. And they do, not all of them are completely helpless against good fastballs anymore. Still kind of helpless. So, you know, maybe it took a month or two to really register. I don't know. But if this continues, he will be due more credit than I gave him. Now, what I said about him was that of the things you ask of a manager, he does some of them. His players love him. And they play hard for him.
Yep.
And I wouldn't even say the Cubs play that stupid. You know, they play pretty clean. I mean, Javi is doing whatever it is he's doing, but no one's gonna get that out of him.
You don't like his interpretive dance version of shortstop where he already has 12 right. errors.
So, and that's why I kind of described him as just a zero in that he does those things. I think he does those things well. He commands respect. His players play hard. They seem to be tuned in. They're not actively dumb. I just didn't think he was terribly innovative, and I didn't think he'd gotten them to change the things they needed to change. Now, maybe he has. I still don't think he's terribly innovative. You know, the bullpen's pretty standard usage at this point.
Yeah, well, and right now...
But at this point, it doesn't matter.
Unless you pitch your boy, Dylan, or Rex
Brothers. Even he's got more good outings than bad at this point.
Well, you could see what they thought of him. He pitched twice in 20 days, and he was perfectly healthy.
No, I know what they think of him.
It was because they were one-run games, and they're like, oh, no, not Dylan. This is not a Dylan Maples moment.
Right.
But, yeah, right now, you or I could manage that bullpen, because it doesn't matter. You just go pick a guy, and he comes in,
and he doesn't give up
a run.
As my close friend Andrew Cieslak would say, no matter who they bring in, he's throwing piss ropes. And they get guys out.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long it's going to last. And I don't know if it's all smoke and mirrors. But, like, I put it out on Twitter today. You and I have sat here for 2 years
mm-hmm.
on this podcast, and longer than that in the comfort of our own homes, wailing about how every other team can just find some corn-fed mule out of minor league baseball to come in and get people out, then they just roll in the next guy. Why can't the Cubs do that? And here I am, not even paying attention. And you know what? They might have done it.
Yeah.
They might actually fashion a bullpen out of gum and paper clips like you're supposed to. And fair play to them, I guess. I mean, I don't know how much I trust it yet, but
so
it's working.
Sahadev wrote another of his love letters to the Pitch Lab last week. And wrote on it about how it's paying early dividends. And then I in my typical said, oh, it's good to see that 10 years is early dividends.
Right.
But John Greenberg, of all people, corrected me and said, well, it's really only year three of the pitch lab.
That's true.
And I'm like, ah, fuck. I still want to know why they can't paint a strike zone on the back wall of the pitch lab, though.
Right. They do walk a lot of people. Yes. And at some point, going to be a problem. Yes.
And actually, one of the ways they've kind of countered that is with the, you know, they, other than Hendricks, they really don't let any starting pitcher push it too far. And I think part of that is they don't really have anybody that comes out of the bullpen that they want, that they feel comfortable with inheriting a mess.
No.
Because they're going to make their own mess and then pitch their way out of it.
Right.
So other than the Trevor Williams starts, where all of a sudden the third inning he's and he has to be removed. I think there's another reason why. You know, obviously they're shortening Adbert most of the time just to save his innings. Uh-huh. They're deathly afraid of letting Zach Davies face anybody for the third time, which is
as well. It should be.
Yes. Jake is. I tweeted out during his last start. To me, this isn't Jake Arrieta. This is some other guy with a beard. Like, I've emotionally disconnected myself from him.
Yeah. Because
I always want to remember badass Jake.
This guy, who is a husk of his former self,
he's just a kind of a useful starting pitcher.
Not even really. He's an asshole.
Yeah, he's an anti-vax.
And the thing is, the Jake Arrieta we love was an asshole. It was just hidden.
Yeah.
I think all the coaches and players on the bench when Jake is pitching should have needles and tell him if he gets pulled, you know, before the seventh, yep, you know, this is what's waiting for you. We have all these needles.
Well, the one thing I want to see some enterprising reporter come up with is, so there's their tier one employee group is about 50 people.
Yeah.
So we know Sogard and Jake are not vaccinated because they love to brag about how
they love
herd
to brag
immunity
about
is their friend.
Yeah.
So there has to be, what, six other guys?
By the way, Patrick Wisdom, a .556 BABIP. I don't know if that's sustainable.
Oh, it's just because he hits the ball so hard. Tore the glove off of somebody last night.
Right.
But the BABIP, that doesn't include his home runs.
It does not include his home run. It does not, yeah.
I want to know who the other six are. Those are the people I want to start shaming them. We already know it's Sogard and Jake. I want to know who the other six are that aren't vaccinated.
I believe Dan Winkler is one, is he not?
I would believe it. I would guess they all have something in common. They all look like they took a field trip to D.C. in January.
Yes.
Like, well, I don't know. I'm just pretty sure David Bodie is one of them. It's just a hunch.
Sogard looks like the type who would like talk about how much he wanted to, but is too much of a coward to actually have stood up for what he believes in.
That was the day my water softener salt got delivered.
You're right. Yeah, I just couldn't.
I would have been there, guys.
Yeah, I totally would have been there.
Yeah, sorry.
I would have taken that bullet for that airhead blonde or whatever. I would have done that. I totally would have. He's like, he's the Q-pilled, hold-me-back guy. I was going through, you know, they've got this tough little stretch now. You know, San Francisco's played very well. I don't think they're this good, but they're clearly competent, and more Padres. And then the Dodgers are waiting there, but then that's it for, like, the Padres and Dodgers. They won't see the Padres and Dodgers again.
Yeah, the make it or break it June, I don't want to say they've already made it irrelevant by going 15.
Well, they could still spit it up.
Yeah, but that they really have to just completely bomb in June, because then the schedule softens back up, because it has to, because there's only four good teams in the whole league.
Maybe. We don't even really know if the Cubs are good or the Giants.
Yeah.
I think they might be, but sure.
The Giants, to me, I like Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko. So
they're the best.
When Cub games end, I tend to flip that on while I'm doing other stuff. And so I've seen more Giants games than any team other than the Cubs. And honestly, I don't know how they ever score a run.
I don't either.
But
well,
they do.
Buster has something to do with it.
Yes. Yeah, Buster's having a great year. Evan Longoria somehow showed up for the season. They made a May trade for Mike Tauchman. The reason you could trade for Mike Tauchman in May is because the Yankees are like, yeah, our offense sucks, but you can have Tauchman.
Right.
you could take him. I don't know how they do it, but they do. I mean, didn't they score? They scored 19 runs against the Reds in a game this year, I think.
Well, what does that mean, really?
Yeah. But they're very. It'll be interesting to watch them play the Cubs. They're the Cubs have by far a more top-heavy roster. You know, the Cubs mm-hmm. have bona fide guys you've heard of and whatever. And so one of the things about everybody kept talking, well, it's amazing how they've navigated through all these injuries. It's like, well, part of the reason they have is because most of the guys who got hurt aren't any good.
But Rizzo got hurt for a few games.
Right. He's the one guy they lost
He's
during
the
that
one
stretch.
Guy. Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, when's he going to be back? Everybody else was like, eh. I mean,
right.
If you squinted.
Watch what happens if Bryant misses 3 weeks.
Yes.
Then we'll, yes. we'll see what.
And Javi, too, because even with the wild swings and whatever, he's one RBI off the National League lead.
So he clearly, hits for just
clearly,
enough power
he's
to make it all okay.
Some, he's scoring points for the Cubs, which is what they
yep.
do. And then, I would put Kimbrel on that list because he's been amazing.
Yeah.
But I kind of think that even if they're in it in July, that they're going to talk to teams about him, thinking that, hey, we could pitch lab our way to fill in a closer, and maybe that's how they split the baby. Like, all right, we're going to keep the three hitters. We're going to flip Kimbrel. He's our Aroldis. You know, he'll be by far the most in-demand reliever on the market. We're going to trade in the American League for somebody. And then we're just going to figure out the ninth inning with our own guys.
You know,
I'm not saying it's smart. I'm saying I could see them talking themselves
into it. The thing is, I'm not saying it's dumb either. You know, they would have to find one or maybe two more guys out of the pitch lab for me to think plausible.
I think it would be much more realistic if Roenwick were healthy and actually pitching.
Yeah, did he die?
Yes, he died.
He died.
Well, you can only have one healthy Wick at a time, and Brad. It's Brad's turn.
Right. If Roenwick were to come back healthy and be Roenwick from 2 years ago, and maybe you find one more guy, just one more guy, we like, hey, we like this guy in the sixth or seventh. We think he can get.
Well, you know, Burl Callaway hasn't allowed a hit yet in the minors. He's also walked 14 guys in 10 innings, but still.
Hey, they like that apparently. Yes. Like that's their thing.
Yep.
If Braylon Marquez were to come up for air and put together just enough good innings.
Well, and at some point we get our buddy Justin Steele back.
Right, Justin Steele.
I think is actually his hamstring injury, as stupid as it was, caused by him running.
Yep.
It was honestly, that's not the worst thing in the world because he's only got so many innings this year anyway, and he's not using them right now, and it's not bothering them. So he'll have more bullets for later.
Yeah, I mean, if someone were to knock your socks off with an offer for Kimbrel, you're still talking about a guy who throws 60 pitches a week.
Yeah.
As good as those 60 pitches have been this year. And they have. You know, that's the kind of thing you probably should be able to get around.
I mean, it's another thing where if you're, I mean, it's entirely possible this team wins the division, goes to the playoffs, loses three games, and never has a lead in the ninth for him to protect.
Right.
And then you're like, you know what? We probably should have traded him.
But if, I mean, now they're going to think, hey, we got this 17-year-old kid. Well, he hasn't graduated high school yet. And he actually hasn't started playing baseball, but he wants to. You know, that's not the kind of thing I'm talking about. I mean, if they get like a
if you're going to trade Craig Kimbrel at the break, it's a guy who is, you expect is going to be in your rotation or your lineup next year.
Yeah, but I said the same thing about you, Darvish. Now that works.
You know what?
If you Darvish,
you know what this team,
you know
what the Cubs really need. Is Yu Darvish. How about the fact that, you know, they just threw Victor in? And Victor, I was so glad to see he got a 60-second standing ovation. as somebody pointed out on Twitter, like, how many of those fans think he was on the World Series team?
Yay,
Victor! I remember this guy. Sit down. He wasn't that good.
35%.
Yeah.
That's just become the new norm, though. Like, that, like, any player who returns after a trade just gets a standing ovation, no matter what. Like, I remember the Hawks, and I apologize to your listeners for always relating back things to the Hawks, but it's where I come from. Gave Artemi Panarin, like, the full video treatment. I'm like, he was here 2 years, and you never won a playoff series. Who cares? He's not. He wasn't on the Cup teams. That's just standard issue now.
You know, one of the weird things about the video tributes the Cubs do, you never can see them. They don't put them on. They don't tweet them out. They don't put it on Cubs.com. Is it some kind of? They don't want to pay MLB the rights to the clips. It's like somebody spent a lot of some poor intern spent hours on this thing, and they showed it in a half-empty stadium so Kyle Schwarber could moon at it. And then we never get to see it. I'd kind of like to see those.
I'd kind of like to see them, too.
It's really weird.
They got to be somewhere. They got to be somewhere on the website. You just got to, like, dig.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Nationals put it on their website, you know, because it's their player.
You know, honestly, who you could get for Craig Kimbrell? Mm. You could get Glaber.
You could probably
Yankees
get Glaber
like,
back.
Remember this kid that Theo said was going to get too big to play shortstop? He's too big to play shortstop. Would you like him back? Yeah. Okay. He's still okay.
Can you do anything with this now? Would this help now? But, you know, or you know what? You could probably trade him to the South so I can get Eloy back. Now, I don't know where the hell you're going to play Eloy. Kill himself next year, but Eloy might find him, come back from that. Well, he died because the White Sox players told us he died.
Yep.
And they hung his jersey up everywhere.
They not only hung the jersey up, they all signed it.
Right. So when he comes back from the River Styx in August or September, he might find that he doesn't actually have a job anymore.
He very well might not.
He might not have a spot to play.
He will not need a position. Should he be returned to the Cubs, he will not need a position next year because this is the end of the no DH in the National League.
As well it should be.
So there will be a spot for...
Right. He could DH here.
Which he's going to need because he's clearly... Like, he should probably have already taken his glove away from him.
It's not that he's a danger to himself in the field. I feel that he's a danger to others. He is a danger to society whenever wearing a glove, and he should...
I mean, we all thought, I think, that him getting stuck in the net last year was the worst and most hilarious thing he'd ever do. But the fact that he somehow tore a pec jumping up for a ball that went, I don't know, 40 feet over his head. He just gave it the, look, I'm going to pretend
I'm
like I can
I'm really
catch
trying
this.
Here. In spring training.
Yes.
Right? It wasn't during a regular season game. This was spring training.
And he got hurt a lot in the minors.
Yes,
he has
did.
A long track record of this weird of these weird injuries.
He might just be Jorge Soler.
Yeah.
Except he's not as talented as Soler. Because when Soler was healthy, he was actually a decent defensive player. He was just never healthy. Eventually couldn't move.
Yep.
So there will be a year down the road where Eloy does the Soler thing and hits 45 homers. And you're like, yep, there it is. There's the season I was always waiting for. And then that's it. He never plays more than 110 games. So that could be all that. But we'll see. But we're not a White Sox podcast, Mr. Dolan. So we will
and we shouldn't be because I can tell you that I have literally not watched them play this year.
Well, you're missing out. They're fun in a lot of ways.
I got my own. I got my own fun team. I don't need that fun team.
You have a fun team for now. That's for sure.
That's right. So there's no reason.
So putting aside what the front office will do, the trades they'll make, Craig Kimbrell, and all that, how much stock does one? Andy Dolan, Mr. DeCipio, if you will, put in everything he's seen in the past month. Is it a complete mirage? Is it not a mirage at all, or somewhere in between?
Well, it's not a mirage. No, it's not a complete mirage. It might be a partial mirage. Um, I don't know how long you can survive when four of your starters can't. I mean, I know the bullpen is really good, but it would be really nice if we had, if they had the good bullpen and didn't need to get six innings out of it all the time. That's very troubling.
This is what the Rays do. I mean, you can do it.
That's true. But yeah, it would be nice if you had more than one guy who wasn't an opener. Would be nice.
Right. Yes. Now,
if you told me that I was never going to have to watch another Trevor Williams start, I would be really happy.
Sadly, I can't tell you that.
I don't think so either. Although I do think that he, and maybe this is just me hoping out loud. He will be DFA'd at some point during the season.
Oh yeah,
and I'm all for it. Still kind of hoping for Father's Day weekend. Well, Dan will be in town. He can help him pack. It'll be fine.
Right, I see my my always rose-colored Cub fan friends already speculating about what it might take to pry Max Scherzer loose.
What?
And like, okay, you go ahead. Yeah. You go ahead and do that.
So the thinking is the Ricketts will trade for someone as long as they don't have a commitment beyond this year. That they will allow Jed to go out and get somebody to pay him for 2 months.
Well, he's a free agent. Right. And the Nationals suck very much.
Yeah.
And as we've seen, those kind of deals never end up being as costly as you think.
No, they do not.
You know, people always say Quintana. Quintana had all those years left on his contract at a very cheap number. That's why he was so expensive.
Yep.
If I recall, Cole Hamels was nothing.
No, it was. I don't even want to bother looking it up. It was. We don't remember who it is. That's how That's how good the haul was for the Rangers. They just didn't want to pay him for 2 months.
Right. So, I mean, Scherzer would cost more than nothing, but I don't know that you'd have to worry about giving up any of the prospects that we know Cubs blogosphere likes to fap itself over. It's an intriguing idea. I just can't see
Sergio,
it happening.
Sergio Alcantara for Max, even up? You think they'd go for that?
Patrick Wisdom for Scherzer and Strasburg.
That's ridiculous. The Cubs can't gut themselves. They can't gut their lineup. Just to add two guys. Just, you know, two stud starters.
I mean, I got to be honest with you, sir. If the Ricketts did allow Jed to pick up a quality starter, doesn't have to be Scherzer, and I don't know what the list is, but a quality starter that would cost them really nothing and is a free agent that they can just let go. A pitching version of Castellanos, basically. But if they could add just one solid starter to this, you know, then I'd be like, oh, well, they're going to win this division.
Yep.
Like, and I don't even know that they'd have to struggle to do it.
No, I don't think they would.
Let me ask you, what do you think the plan for Azulai now? He's been as good as we could have hoped.
Yeah.
Little homer happy, but who isn't?
I think they're at the point now where they have to decide. I mean, I don't know how you do this, but it's almost like they need to give him a mid-season break.
Yeah. Has anyone tried that before,
though? I
don't
think anybody has.
I can't remember.
Everybody does. Well, not everybody, but, you know, obviously the most prominent one was Strasburg, where
they just shut him down.
Pitched him the whole year and then said, all right, he can't pitch in the playoffs, which just seemed like the dumbest possible strategy.
Right.
Like, you knew all year you were going to limit him. You couldn't have staggered his innings so you could have used him now? Ever?
No? I mean, is there a way you could skip enough of his starts to get him through the whole year?
I think they could.
The rotation.
I mean, they could give his starts to Keegan Thompson and Cole Stewart and get by with it. The problem is, I don't know physically, though, if that actually works.
Because even if he's skipping a start, it's not like he's going to hang out on the beach.
Yeah, he's still got to throw in between. And then he's like, well, shit, if he's going to throw, he might as well be pitching in games.
Right.
Yeah, I think the only way that it really would have worked would have been for them to have basically said, all right, Adbert, your season doesn't start until July 1st.
Right. You're going to do spring training
yep.
in April and May.
Yep.
And then we'll just bring you.
Now you can just, we can just pitch you like a normal starter for the rest of the season. But once you start the year with him, you start his clock. And I don't think it's as simple as, well, we'll skip him a few times and that'll, I mean, you can keep his inning total down, but I don't know that you do anything to help keep the wear and tear off his arm.
Mm.
Other than handicapping yourself, because now you're pitching, he's throwing all these pitches in a bullpen, at noon,
right,
instead of at 7:05.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm watching.
I mean, do you think they could just maybe just give him a towel, and he just does towel drills for a couple of months?
Right.
I mean, Larry was in town the last couple of days. He could have shown him the finer points of the towel drill.
We've seen how that works. I mean, that's my work because, you know, he hasn't gone long, but they get five really good innings out of him. Sometimes six. And, you know, if they lose that out of the rotation and then they just have to go, as you said, Keegan Thompson those are 3 and 4 inning starts, and that's just going to be, a lot to overcome.
Well, you'd be able to get around it, except you've already got 40% of the time at least, you've got short starts because you've got Zach Davies, who you're afraid to use longer, and then Trevor, who just can't.
Okay.
There's base runners all over the place, and you got to get his ass out of there.
Well, I don't know that any team would actually do this, but it will come up in the discussions, is that what you would want to do is pick a pitcher to piggyback with him, or pick a pitcher that he piggybacks. And you say, okay, look, he's not going to be able to start after July 15th or after the All-Star break. We can't do this to his arm.
Yeah.
So he's going to throw 3 innings, but we've got a guy who every 5 days is then going to come in and throw the next 3 innings.
Yeah, or you could do it backwards. He could do it with Zach Davies.
Right, he could do it with Zach Davies, but then you would need another starter.
Yes.
You know,
that's why you got to trade for Max Scherzer.
I would think that when they were trying to map this out, they probably hoped it could be Braylon Marquez. Like, hey, we're going to just throw our two kids 3 innings each.
The idea being there, because they were going to start Marquez at Double A, so they're going to be aggressive. Right. That's the idea that, okay, by midseason, we think he'll be advanced enough to handle, you know, short starts in the big leagues, and then we'll be covered. Well, he hasn't even thrown a pitch in anger yet.
He hasn't thrown a pitch yet, so. And there's still maybe time for that. He can ramp up over the next six weeks.
Right, it could be like the Justin Steele thing, where it actually works to their advantage that, basically, they're doing with him inadvertently what we just suggested they could have done with Adbert, which is don't start his season till July. So maybe there's like a handoff at midseason.
Yeah, right. Here's
now playing the role of Adbert Elzelay is Braylon Marquez.
I mean, that's putting a lot on Braylon. From we've seen he's thrown one major league inning.
Yes, one very wild inning.
One very wild inning.
Where it was like, wow, he threw 101, and then he threw 9 balls in a row.
He's a long way from being a part of a major league team, but
just don't let him play catch with Dan Winkler, because God knows
that would have been
people
the
will
plan.
Die.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of questions about this team, but they're all interesting. I mean, they're all kind of fascinating. How they're going to handle this, because there's a lot of cool answers to it.
Well, you know, there was a guy who wrote an article right at the beginning of the season saying there's a lot to be excited about with this team, and it turns out, you know, darn, he was right.
Is he handsome too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't read. I'm sure none of the things he was excited about are the things that actually happened, but it turns out there were things to get excited about, so I give him credit for that.
And they may all turn out to be some things that you shouldn't have got excited about, because they could lose 10 in a row.
No, I mean, we've already... So the... I was too young, and you were way too... I don't know if you were even around. I mean, maybe you would have been in the Yu Darvish trade at this point.
I would have been in the Yu Darvish trade.
But the Cubs social media team put out that the Cubs had their best May since 1977.
Oh, God.
And it's like, if you're a Cub historian, you do not want anything compared to the 1977 Cubs, who were like 55-30 at one point and finished below 500.
500, yeah.
Let's not compare this team, because it could happen. We don't want to compare them to the 77.
It absolutely could happen. And Kyle Hendricks could go back to giving up 4 at home runs.
So we're actually contemplating. We're going to have a special edition of Remember This Crap at sometime in the next 10 days or so, where we bring Frank Nova on, who actually remembers the 77 Cubs, and have him walk us through that season where Manny Trio hit like 380 for 3 months. and Jerry Morales was like a triple crown threat and all this stuff, and then how it all went bad.
Must have gone so bad.
Yep. I remember as a, not as a kid, but like as a, I don't know, but seeing things like, watch WGN, to be like, well, the Cubs are off to their best start since 77. And I would be like, well, what the hell happened in 77? I don't remember that. I'd never heard of that team.
Right.
And finally, you know, finding out, like probably just asking dad, he's like, oh yeah, no, it went very bad. The Cubs and Sox were both really good for a while that year. And then, no, no.
And then it just went away.
Yes.
Well, I don't.
I think the difference
between considered overly optimistic, but I don't think. I don't think. I guess this team could finish under 500. They're only what, 9 games over now? 10 games over?
10, I think. Right, with the win today.
10. That's still you could lose that. I mean, that can go away on you.
They might be 12 over. I think they have the. I think they've tied for the third best record in the league now. Didn't say much.
Well, what does that mean? I mean, it's
They're only 9 over.
They're only 9. I thought they were 9 over.
But they would have
a terrible league. What does that mean?
They'd have a 5-game lead in the East. And they would be in fourth place in the West. So that's the National League. That's the National League in a nutshell. The Mets are in first place in the East, and they would be 7 games out in the West. And they would be in, they'd be in fourth place. But yeah, the other nice thing about it is, you know, the Nats are terrible,
awful.
So they've got they would have a motivation, like you said, to get rid of a guy like Scherzer. I don't know if there's anything on the Diamondbacks, the Rockies left to pick over. But you know, like there's the Twins, they're dead. They will have things that we'll need to give away. The Angels aren't doing anything, so I'm sure they could just Cubs could borrow Shohei.
Right.
Why can't they do loan. Like a why can't they do like a loan like they do in the Premier League?
Soccer? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same deal. He's not going to play against the Angels. So you don't have to worry, you don't have to sit him in those games. He's not going to play him anyway if he comes to the Cubs.
Well, that's kind of what they did with Aroldis.
Yeah, basically that was
he was basically loaned to the Cubs.
Yeah. I mean, that was the worst kept wink wink secret with a role this right. was like they tucked his 2017 contract into his baggage when he left, said sign this in November, everything will be fine.
Yep.
And the Cubs could do that with Kimbrel.
I'm sure they could. I don't think they should. I mean, you know, he's an over 30 reliever, like why pay him?
It's funny, people are like, he's only 32. It's like, yeah, that's young, but he's been a closer for a long time.
He's been around for a long time.
This is a lot of max effort innings out of that arm. And I'm super impressed with how good he's been since about the 6th game of last year. This whole thing about he's so much better than last year. It's like, well, he was a disaster for like 5 appearances, and then he was really good. And
he was pretty good, and he started doing the things we talked about. We're like, look, he doesn't throw quite hard enough to be low in the zone like it used to be, yep. But if he starts throwing high in the zone, he'll still be hard to catch up to. That's exactly. And now he's throwing hard enough where he can throw wherever he wants.
Yep.
I mean, he was at 98, 99 last year, or last time he was out. Was that yesterday? Last night? Last night. And
he was unhittable. You know, and that, yeah, the second that was game just, against the Padres. That was that, they had no chance.
That was just goofy. It's good to see. It was fun. But
not since the days of Aroldis, and then before that, Joe Borowski. Have we had lights out closer like Craig Kimbrel?
I know I told everyone I wasn't gonna watch, and I didn't care. But you know, my curiosity seems to get the best of me, and especially when the Padres are in town, because at the moment that's a game between two of the only 5 good teams worth watching. You have to tune in. Like even if I lived anywhere else and wasn't a Cub fan, it's like, oh, this is one of the few games that, you know, you kind of like would watch because it's not Cubs and Reds, you know, or like Marlins and whoever, Pirates. Like, it's actually two teams that can do something. So
I feel like the Padres are a 2003 Marlins move away from, like, are you really going to entrust that this good a team to Jace Tingler? Don't you at some point in like July just go, Jace, go away, and you just grab some old guy off the street and
Trader Jack.
Yeah, and go, all right, here's a real, you're a real manager. Just manage this team for
really manage this team. Yes. I don't know. The trend in baseball has been not to do that.
No, the trend is to, you have a guy like Jace Tingler because your front office is really making all the important calls.
Right, they call down and say
they don't want the old guy who's going, no, I don't want
to
do that.
Yeah, well, back, you know, Casey Stengel used to do it this way, so this is how you don't want the White Sox.
No, well, no.
But it's working out for them so far. We'll see what happens when they hit a losing streak, but yeah, it's you know, that the sweep of the pot, you know, you and I joked about the sweep of the Dodgers, like, well, none of these were actual real games.
Yeah. Yeah, when they beat Kershaw and the most fascinating man in baseball, but only had to play 7 innings to do it. Which...
Well, one of them went to extras, but that was only 8.
Yeah.
And then the 1 9 inning game went to extras with the ghost runner and all that.
Yeah. And they didn't have to face Cody Bellinger because he broke his leg or
right,
whatever.
Right.
But still.
Somebody
it turned
like,
out
this...
that really was a – it wasn't just a, ha-ha, the Cubs caught a really good team at a bad moment. It was they caught him at a bad moment, and the Cubs are actually pretty good.
But
we didn't, we didn't have the evidence of that yet.
This sweep of the Padres, like this is – because not only did they sweep them, I mean, they kind of kicked the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And Monday
you would say,
today,
well, they didn't face Darvish or Snell, but honestly, you want to face Blake Snell right now. He's been bad.
Blake Snell has always been a touch overrated because he had one Cy Young season. He's a good pitcher, maybe even pretty good. He's not Yu Darvish. And he only throws 5 or 6 innings. Like, oh, well, you know, everyone's like, well, now you go to San Diego and he won't be in that rigid system where you can only 5 or 6 innings. It's like, eh, I don't know that you want him getting into the 6th and 7th inning.
Some guys that are built for that, and maybe he was one of them.
But you know, this sweep of the Dodgers, like, well, this really feels like a thing. Like the Padres are a good team. I don't know how good they are, but they're a good team. They're certainly exciting. You know, but that's a real team, and like the Cubs basically dispatched them. And I'll be curious to see how the 4 games against the Giants are. The Giants haven't been quite as good as they were earlier in the year, but they're still playing well. But if they can go in there and win 3 of 4, yeah, even a split, because they don't generally play very well.
No, they don't.
There. And I feel like that's been true our entire lives. San Francisco, no matter where they're playing, Candlestick, Oracle, out on the Embarcadero, anywhere in San Francisco, they just don't. Maybe I'm making that up. Maybe that's just...
No, I think it's right. They were famously terrible in the Astrodome, and I feel they were pretty much that way in Candlestick.
They were famously terrible when they first opened that park. Because I remember, like, the 2007 team, the 2008 team, like, went there and, like, won a series, and they were like, this is the first time the Cubs have ever won a series here. And I feel like maybe in recent years, because the Giants have sucked.
Yeah. Well, part of that in the early years may have been when you give up 8 home runs to Barry Bonds in 3 days, it makes it tough.
Right, that tends to
what I remember
sink
about
your results.
The right field almost killed Jason Hayward in his first year with the Cubs. He kind of went skittering face first into the bricks.
Right.
And then they always said that was like the early on in the contract when the people were deluding themselves to think that maybe the Cubs could trade Hayward. San Francisco always came up. And it's
because
there's no way he's approving a trade there. He'll die in right field. A, he'll never get a hit in that park. And B, he'll die trying to catch a fly ball. He's not going to San Francisco, I promise.
He's not going to San Francisco. But yeah, if they can, this road trip, so it's, you know, San Francisco, then San Diego, then they come home for the Cardinals, who, again, don't have 2 of their starting 5.
Which is really terrible. I just feel so bad for them.
I just feel so bad for them. So they can throw Martinez out there to throw his 4 perfect innings and then walk 6 guys in the 5th, as he always does.
The Carlos Martinez implosion inning is one of my favorite things.
It's really great.
It's really great for 2 things. A, he loses his shit, which is fun. But then B, Cardinal Twitter explodes because they hate him.
They hate him.
But they'll get their hopes up like 4 innings into the game that this is one of his good starts. And then when it goes to shit, it's like they can't handle the fact that it went to shit again. That's always enjoyable. I also like the fact that the Cardinal bullpen can't. I mean, we talk about the Cubs pitchers struggling with control. The Cardinal bullpen literally can't help but walk everybody.
Historically wild.
Yes.
I believe.
It's great.
So, but yeah, if they come out of this next week, this next stretch here, these 10 games, you know, with another impressive record, 7-3, 8-2, or something like that, then I, you know what, it might just be time to buy in. It might just be time to, like, this team is good, favorites to win the division, and with one starting pitcher might have a puncher's chance. So, because if you do it right, you win the division, well, you get to play the team out of the East because the Dodgers will have the best record, the two wild cards will come out of there. You know, maybe the Braves have a miraculous second half or whatever. But yeah, okay, if you have to play the Mets, all right, well, you're going to have to get around those two Jacob DeGrom starts. That's got to figure that one out. But, you know, I'm very curious. Very curious. They've piqued my curiosity. I want to say this. I want to be clear about this. As angry as I was with ownership in the front office, I could never root against these players.
No.
I could never root against Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and Javi Baez and Wilson Contreras and Kyle Henry. Like, these guys have been too much fun to be fans of. So the fact that they're winning and if it is their last season, they're going to make their last season worthwhile. Well, that still makes me happy because I could never bring myself to wish that those guys had to slog through a season.
That's the frustration, was that they basically were just letting the last year of that core just go.
Right. Like, they're just going
to see what we can get for these guys.
There is a charm that these guys clearly have said, well, fuck this.
Yes.
We're going to do this despite our bosses.
Yeah. And Rizzo guys allude to it. Rizzo said it. Javi had
Javi said it too, I feel like.
For Javi had a day where he commented on how impressed he was by the Padres infield and how expensive it is.
Right. I mean, he's not really hiding anything.
He's like, see, they pay people there, and it's freaking San Diego. They don't have a pot to piss in, and they pay everybody.
And I wouldn't want Eric Hosmer, really, at all. But and that might be what Anthony Rizzo becomes. They're not that different in age.
Yeah, I mean, the awkward discussion is, if the Cubs get to the point where, like, you know what, we can afford two of these guys, Rizzo's the odd man out. If you're doing it by value.
Yeah, especially if he's going to have back problems. I mean, those don't get better.
Well, he's the oldest. He plays the position that, honestly, Chris Bryant can just play his position.
I mean, Javi can play his position one day when he gets too old for shortstop, if that ever happens. But Javi's played first and looked okay doing it.
Javi may play first left-handed.
He very well might.
It was funny. He's famously left-handed in everything except for baseball. And he was, I don't know if he caught this, but when Amir Garrett blew up again the other day, Javi was doing the jump shot thing from the top of the dugout, and he was shooting his imaginary jump shots left-handed.
Left-handed.
Because that's just what he does.
You know, I still believe, and that doesn't mean they shouldn't do it because it's incredibly fun and funny, but one day they're going to let Javi do that thing where he comes up and bats left-handed, you know, it's a blowout. And Javi begs, let me go up and play left-handed. And he doesn't swing any less hard left-handed than he does right-handed.
Yeah, he's blowing his back.
Good. He's going to pull an oblique muscle that'll keep him out for 8 weeks. Yeah. Like, it's so blatantly going to happen. But what can you do?
Yeah, because it's Javi's thing
Jose
now.
Canseco injury.
Javi's thing is when a position player pitches against the Cubs, he's going to bat left-handed against the position player.
Yeah.
And it is entertaining. I always wanted them to let Yu Darvish pitch an inning left-handed because he can.
Because can he?
He throws, on one of his off days, he throws a bullpen left-handed just for the hell of it. And they said he would be a serviceable left-handed reliever.
He's bored and he feels like he has to do something.
He can throw a ball left-handed like 88 miles an hour. So he just does.
That would make you a left-handed reliever in the majors.
Yep.
So
amphibious.
He's amphibious. Well, we've prattled on.
Yeah, when we get to the Yu Darvish pitching left-handed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was fun. It's nice to talk about this team when they're actually playing well.
It's nice to talk about Cubs when they're winning and when things seem to be going well, especially when it pisses off the ownership. You can't help but smile at the idea that with every win, you know, Tom Ricketts is crinkling his brow or, you know, pounding the desk just a little harder.
Yep.
This was not what I wanted, you know.
Well, it's funny. We've still not seen him.
And you won't.
At the park. You know, Mr. I have my monogram shirt and I walk around. I talk to the fans and the TV cameras always follow me talking to fans. Well, where is he?
Where? Yeah. Well,
that'll tell you everything you need to know about. Well, how happy he is with what's going
he'll
on.
He'll be there when they clinch the division in the locker room. Yeah. He won't be in the stands, but he'll be in the locker room ready to take all the interviews and try and claim this was the plan all along.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They've got the talking points already written up about
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Whole staff of PR people drafting it right now.
It is ironic, though, that if they're in it late, the thing they're going to need to find is a top of the rotation starter when that's what
they literally
gave away.
They literally gave one away, and now they're going to have to give up something sort of real to get it back.
Yeah. But in their mind, they haven't had to pay that salary for months now. They're pretty happy.
Yeah, they're delighted.
All right. Well, thanks, Sam.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Yep.
Enjoy this and enjoy graduation or whatever it is you do, wherever it is you go.
That's right.
And we will talk soon.
All right.
Many of us have herpes.